The Morning Rush podcast is brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Freedom Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boot.
This game's still alive and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talked the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast.
Good to see you, Tommy. How you doing?
Good to be here. 25 days now? Is that what the big voice guy said a minute ago? So I think that's
25 days
till the first game. So,
you know, and then it's going to seem like just a couple seconds, it'll be 15 days,
no, I know,
and then 5 days, and then one. It's just, it's building up and building momentum, and it's nice just to see, and it feels like every single day when you visit hitthatline.com, you'll be able to see all these videos, mm-hmm. their player interviews, and all of that. So you can just tell it's starting to really get revved up, and there's always some news coming out today throughout the week on all things going on with the Arkansas Razorback football team. But I did want to bring up to everybody, just to kind of start off, the Arkansas Razorbacks signed got another commitment from the 2019 class. See, I feel like every day or every other day, we got a new player to talk about committing to the Arkansas Razorbacks, and Arkansas gets another one. The 18th commitment of the 2019 class. He's a running back from Phoenix City, Alabama, and he put up a video. He's a 6'1", 205-pound running back. He's a three-star, according to most, and I'm going to try to pronounce his name right. Amonte Spivey. So that sounds right, at least. It sounded good. Yeah. But he's the number one.
You got to sell it.
That's,
you
know, right.
Whether it's right or wrong, sell it.
Just be confident in it. So now Arkansas has moved up, depending on, again, who you look at. But Arkansas still has a top 20 class. Currently moved up one spot to 21, according to 247 Sports. Still 10th in the SEC. But either way, another big commitment for the Arkansas Razorbacks. So just on to another. What? I don't know. I could be wrong, Tommy. I know we don't follow recruiting. We do, at least in the amount of knowing what's going on, but I can't remember a time where you've seen this many commitments during this point in time of the year. Usually when you get the most of your commitments, it's either after big visits throughout the season, or you have it leading right up to signing day or on signing day. But just this random month before the season starts, plethora of players that's been committing, you just don't see that very often.
And I think the early signing periods change some of the dynamics of the recruiting game. We're still trying to figure out some of that. It was really a bad year to make a coaching change from that standpoint, when you bring a coach in early December and he's got, like, you know, 4 minutes to figure out how to put a class together because you get this early signing period. So I think that's part of the dynamic of why some of these players commit earlier. I think another part of it is Arkansas's got a lot going on. There's a lot of energy and a lot of heat and a lot of juice around this program right now. Kids apparently want to be a part of it, and they want their seat on the train, as Eddie would say. You know, so I think there's some pressure on certain kids, not the five stars, maybe not the higher shelf four stars necessarily, to commit and commit now. And again, it's just a commitment. It's not binding. And get your spot. I think a lot of kids, as Tyler's talked about, want to kind of get this off their plate before they really get into the heart of their high school football season and kind of table the discussion a little bit so they can get focused on their season.
And you know, to add to that point, too, I always wondered about the kids that make their decision on signing day. I mean, do you think that a lot of them actually say on signing day, okay, this is the school I'm going to go to, in their minds, or do they have their decision made days, weeks in advance, but there's something about the pomp and circumstance of having a commitment on that day of signing day?
Well, I mean, there's something about the freedom of keeping your options open. I mean, I'm a guy that if I give you a commitment, I tell you something, I'm going to kill myself trying to follow through on that. May not live up to every word I promise, but by golly, it's not because I didn't try. If I'm, that's just the way I'm wired. Not everybody's wired that way. But if even at 17 years old, 18 years old, if I tell you I'm coming to play football for you in August, count on me to be there in December. So I probably wouldn't be the kind of player that would, if I was found myself in this position, I probably wouldn't commit to you in August. because I like to keep my options open. So I think it depends on how you're kind of wired and put together.
Which
do you want to keep your options open, or do you want to get the distraction of all the recruiting and the letters and the texts and the phone calls and the process itself off your plate?
Mm-hmm. But I think that there's no question, though, that some of these players love having that.
There is no way I could look Chad Morris or any other coach in the eye and say, I'm coming to your school knowing I'm just getting this off my plate. I'll reopen and look at this again, regardless, come November. Mm-hmm. I couldn't do it.
It'd be difficult, but there's also...
That's just how I am.
Yeah, and there's also people that say if they do make that commitment and they feel good about it, they feel like that's the place to go, but somebody comes in and says, hey... Not saying they always do it illegally, but just, hey, here's a reason why you'll come here instead.
And that's why I wish the early signing period was now-ish.
Be nice.
Instead of December. And it would be better for the player, I think. I don't know if it's better for the school. And there's some debate on whether it should be now or later. But to me, isn't the December signing period, late December, right before Christmas, it's just, to me, almost worthless.
I don't see a point in it because, what is it, only 2 months, roughly?
Yeah, I mean, well, not even that.
Day?
I mean, last year it was, what, December 22nd?
Yeah, so like a month and a half.
First, second, third, or whatever. And then the first Wednesday in February, whatever that was last year. But it's early February, so it's like 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, I'll say it's completely worthless, but it just doesn't have the effect that I think it could have.
Yeah.
What's the reason you'd want to have an early signing period? To get it out of the way before the start of the season, I would think, for a high school athlete.
Right. Well, I know, and I think that's valid. But I also think, too, that if you had it early, though, coaching changes happen. You know, like, would there be a way to get you out of that commitment or out of that signing, I should say, if, say, you signed in right now in August, and then the coach was fired at the end of December?
Right.
I mean, should you be able to get out of that that signing?
Yes, you should be.
Because I agree with that, too. I feel like there should be circumstances that allows you to get out of that commitment if something like that happens.
And
maybe that's what they're trying to avoid.
And I think if there's some kind of major career-ending, you know, serious injury, the school ought to be able to get out of the commitment with the player.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. But it's still in the early stages of having this early signing period. I'm sure it's going to be adjusted. It's something they're going to keep looking at to try to find the best way for not only the coaches, but for the players, too. Because you mentioned it when Chad Morris came in. How difficult was that for him? Oh, hey, your coach, welcome to the place. Now you got about 2 weeks to sign some kids.
That's exactly right. That was one of those layers of it that they didn't realize. You know, one of the unintended consequences, I guess is a better way of putting it, of when there is a transition. And you don't make a policy or a change in signing periods and think about, well, how is this going to affect schools that fire coaches, you know, or have a coaching change? But it greatly affects you. And Arkansas's recruiting class was, what, 51st or 53rd
Something
last
like
year?
That,
it was in the 50s. Well, there's a good – that was one of the good reasons why. A, Bielema had quit recruiting, and two, Morris had no time to get anything put together.
Yeah. It was a mess for everybody involved, honestly. And if it's any indication, too, you can see that 53rd ranked recruiting class, that's still, at least I don't consider that Chad Morris's recruiting class.
I mean, I know he's the one
that signed those kids, and, you know, some of them may end up being pretty good. But when I look at, looking back on the recruiting class ranking stuff, you'll be like, oh, what about that first class? That's, to me, not the first class. This is the first class, the 2019 one that we're talking about. And if it's any indication, Chad Morris and his coaching staff are some recruiting fools, and it looks like it's going to continue that way as well. So
it's that way year one. Let's see, you know, in reality, in fairness, let's see if this sustains. Are we having this same conversation about the recruiting success in a year, in 15 months? Because Bielema had a great first class by the standard he put up, and then it kind of waned a little bit.
Yeah.
And still, depending, and here's the other thing and I know it's not Wednesday, so we'll beef on stuff tomorrow, but why is there such a disparity depending, and everybody, I get the unwritten rule, we got to automatically look at the service that has you ranked higher, because that becomes the automatic, by God, authority once it has you one place higher than anybody else. But why is it, like the last time I looked at ESPN, which was Sunday, I guess, I hadn't looked at it since this commitment, You were 31st in the country in the ESPN recruiting rankings with, I think it was 17 commitments. But Rivals had you 17th in the country. How can it be that big a disparity? I mean, I can understand three or four spots, but how can you be 31st in one with the same number of commitments and 17th in the other? Well, 25 now?
Yeah.
Ty's telling me 25th. Well, in ESPN or Rivals? ESPN. I'm assuming ESPN.
Yeah. Because you know why?
So you've jumped up six spots.
ESPN's fake news, Tommy. They hate Arkansas. Don't you know that?
I just wonder why the formulas are so different.
Yeah. No, I don't see, like, because I agree.
Because here's the automatic Arkansas fan take. Well, that rating, that recruiting, that's garbage. That's garbage. But all we do is go by the one that has you the highest. If it was flip-flop and Rivals had you 25th or 31st and ESPN had you 17th, Rivals would be garbage.
Yep. It's whoever got you the highest.
So I don't know which one's right. I don't know. I mean. Mm-hmm.
And who do you think in the recruiting services knows that?
In the ESPN ratings, you're still 10th in the league or whatever you were when we were 31st. Mm-hmm. But in Rivals, they had you ahead of like South Carolina and Florida and had you ahead of several other schools you weren't ahead of otherwise.
Yeah, Auburn actually is even.
Auburn was
too,
another one. And of course, in all of them ahead of Missouri, Vanderbilt, and Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. And Florida is so low right now, too. That's what's surprising.
In the ESPN one, you were not.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know what goes into it. All I know is that when I look at those, I see the commitments and I see the rankings.
I just shake my head a little bit at it and wonder, you know. But as fans, the Rivals one is the only one that's right now.
That's right. Because it has Arkansas in a higher place, and they're always right as long as they love Arkansas and the other places must hate Arkansas.
We don't want information. We want affirmation.
That's right. That's all we need.
Arkansas's home for the best sports talk. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Adams with it at the 45. Adams skipping. Adams gets outside. Watch out. Hits the sideline. The Jet. Touchdown, Arkansas.
You're going to watch a lot of SEC games that do not involve Arkansas this year. I know I will, at least. Especially in that first week or two, honestly, with some of those non-conference games.
Alabama-Louisville? Kidding me?
Do you think that's the... Because we're going to talk about it. Do you think that's the most intriguing game? Is that the one you're really looking forward to in that first week? Is that the main one? I got the schedule pulled up, but...
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Okay. I mean, that's fine. I feel like Alabama's going to destroy them. So, I mean, maybe I'm wrong in that.
Maybe.
I think they're a 30-point favorite
As far as rankings, if you believe in rankings,
yeah.
And I'm so-so on rankings, that's as good a matchup as you're going to find in the country.
True.
One of the better ones, at least.
Yeah. Auburn and Washington, though, is a fascinating one. Mm-hmm. Maybe an underrated one.
Mm-hmm.
Washington played, of course, in the college football playoff, and they got Chris Peterson, great coach over there. You know, got to get off to a tough schedule anyways for Auburn. Yeah. I mean, if you just look at all the non-conference games too, but no, we'll talk about that and break it down a little bit too. So, but anyways, a few things that I wanted to get to as well. You know, Austin Allen's trying to make a roster in the NFL. Mm-hmm. He's with Tampa Bay, and apparently he has the support of a lot of the fans there. So they were big fans of him, started chanting his name when he walks out onto the field.
Wow.
So they're trying to get him on a roster. It's kind of cool to see. But, you know, it makes me wonder, though, if Austin Allen, I mean, he's a great quarterback, had a lot of promise. I don't know, maybe he'll be able to make a roster down there, too.
Wish I would have had some of that support. Yeah. Oakland.
What, no one chanted your name, Tyler?
I mean, you guys tried to get me on a roster out here? Yeah. Jeez. No, I didn't have that love out there in Oakland.
Man.
But the chant your name in Oakland is probably not a good thing.
Yeah, no, it's always boo. There's only thing they do in Oakland's boo.
They're chanting your name. It's probably followed by "you suck" or something that in Oakland. So.
Yeah, but no, that's a big deal. I mean, it really is. Like, I know that's kind of I don't know what happened. If he was just walking through the tunnel.
He was just walking out onto the practice field.
Hmm.
So,
well, cool.
Yeah, when I see that, it was because it made me start thinking. First off, to get you think about the end of the Brett Bielema era and just how it left a nasty taste in everyone's mouth. But, you know, you had some guys that are trying to make rosters or are making rosters. Frank Ragnow was one of the ones that, of course, was with the Detroit Lions. I got drafted by them. But Austin Allen, and I don't want to say that Brett Bielema ruined his career or anything, but, man, it was really tough for him going through that last year, just getting pummeled all the time like he was, had no offensive line support, was trying to do so much on his own, was battling some injury. it just makes you think that if they would have just had a good offensive line to protect him, and if he was just able to make the plays, if they would have had success, could he have been a quarterback that was actually drafted? Would he have been a guy that maybe would have had a better opportunity? I'm not sure, Tyler. You may be knowing a little more about this than I would.
Well, you know, I'm looking at the current landscape here in Tampa Bay and trying to kind of figure out, you know, what the opportunity is for him there. And I think there is some. But just to go back on your question, you know, what could have been different that gets him an opportunity? And I think one, injuries. I think had he been, you know, healthy at some of it. But you look at some of the bright spots of his career, and I go back to the loss against Alabama at home. Was it last year or the year before last? Yeah, 2 years ago. He threw for over 400 yards in that football game and made some throws that were high level throws. They were really, really good. I remember a touchdown in the corner of the end zone. It was the south corner of the end zone. Just the right anticipation. There was some stuff going on there that you see and you go, man, this guy's got it. Now, I think there's some other things too, though, that in the younger part of his career that, you know, there's a more of a casual personality. I mean, when you look at personality types and what people identify in the NFL, you know, shoot, obviously I'm not there, so now you know, my perception of it might be off. But I know coming out, there's a lot of people that, you know, that strong A personality, and he's been a little more casual and laid back, and that's just, I think even Bielema commented, you know, that several times. There's no question if he was in a Petrino system, and a system that featured offensive development, that his numbers probably would have been a little stronger. That he might be in a position that he's a draftable player. He obviously had a lot of controversy in the last year with everything that went on with the coaching staff. That's never helpful when you're trying to get drafted. It's just not. And I think what's interesting, though, both Brandon and Austin, and if Austin makes a roster, Bielema's going to have 2-for-2 quarterbacks. Ultimately, the fan base at Arkansas probably goes, I don't know about the total career at Arkansas. But guess what? Those guys are cashing checks in the NFL. And, you know, so from a quarterback development standpoint, obviously, you know, you look at the track record, Petrino's, you know, everywhere he's been in college, they've had great success in college, but the translation of that to the NFL has been minimal. Yeah. And it's interesting, though, that Bielema's, you know, two guys while he's at Arkansas weren't super successful in college but are cashing checks in the NFL, or potentially will cash checks in the NFL.
And I know we're talking about this, Tyler, and I just want your thought. Why is that? When you brought up Petrino and how the success he had in college at the quarterbacks, what is it that it didn't translate to the NFL? Because it seemed like it was a pro style. It seemed like it had all the makings for it, but why didn't it translate?
This is my number one guess and feel. Everything was so tailored to the quarterback position while we were in school at Arkansas. Every blitz that was drawn up in practice, every blitz card, I knew everything that was happening in practice before it ever even happened, because that's how we trained in the meeting rooms. You get to the NFL, in a lot of these systems, the quarterback the quarterback room is not as organized. It's not as put together. It's not, you know, the defense gets just as much of advantage as the quarterback does. So I walk out there to practice and I'm seeing a blitz for the first time. And I'm in a, you know, we're in a concept similar to what I described a minute ago. And I'm learning on the fly on where I'm supposed to go with it. And, you know, there's a minimal amount of reps that you get. The learning process I was used to learning one way and it all being tailored and being so organized, and you get to the NFL and it's a crapshoot. And I think as a quarterback, sometimes if you've been in a really controlled environment where everything is almost, you know, it's laid out for you, and then all of a sudden you go in here and you got to learn a different way, that was difficult for me. It was really difficult on limited amount of reps. And I think Bielema's system was a more laissez-faire. You had to, you know, you kind of had to feel your way around and you know, expect unexpected things at practice. And, you know, I don't know. That's a reason why I think that potentially some of the Petrino guys have struggled in the NFL is because the way he teaches is so friendly to the quarterback in college that once you get to the NFL, it's like it's a free-for-all. And it's really unorganized. I can't voice that enough. That's probably my biggest frustration with the NFL is everybody thinks that how organized it is. I mean, probably the worst coaching I got in football was in the NFL. And that's not a knock. It was just, all right, we'll just go out here and play football. And it's really weird. That's the best way I can describe. We were much more organized in college, probably five times as organized in college as we were in the NFL.
No, and I think that makes sense because I think that everyone who saw the Petrino quarterbacks, whether it was at Louisville or Arkansas or wherever, they were so great in college, but then the NFL, they were just unable to really stick with the team and figure it out.
And the weird thing from the outside looking in on that, Tyler, when you share that with the audience is in college you got a limited number of practice hours, limited number of meeting hours.
It's worse in the NFL. You don't think that, but it is. It's worse. You don't have as much time in the NFL because what? CBA, the way they've bargained it, it's worse. You have less practice time in the NFL than I think you do in college.
Wow.
And you've got all of – so, like, all my receivers, I'm with them for 4 years. I'm with Jarius Wright. I'm with Joe Adams. I'm with DJ Williams. I'm with all those guys. And we're all going in the summer, and we're all throwing routes together because we have to be there in the summer. You get to the NFL, shoot, I don't know who my receiver is going to be next week because they just got traded to whoever. Yeah, I don't know any of these guys. I'm in Cincinnati, and I'm on Thursday night, and I'm playing in the game on TV, and I don't even know any of my players' names because I got there on Wednesday. I mean, that's the difference between the NFL and college football. And you know, shoot, I probably got a little bit of a raw deal in terms of a couple situations that happened to me there, but you know, that's my perception of the NFL, and it's night and day when you're compared. College and NFL football.
See, that's fascinating to me because you always think that NFL, since you don't have to worry about school or classes or anything else, it's just, oh, it's always football all the time, and you can just spend as much time as you want with everybody and doing practices and reps and all that.
Well, and then
that's what you think.
Okay, I'm a quarterback that just got 2-3 reps in practice. Okay, let's stick around. Hey, guys, let's all the undrafted rookie guys, let's stick around and throw some routes. You know, I mean, they're still trying to make a roster too, but you know, they got their legs are dead after practice. I don't know. There's just not the accountability and the organization in the NFL by any stretch of the imagination that it is in, you know, in college football. I don't know. That's my opinion of it.
But. No, it's fascinating stuff. There's no doubt. So, because a lot of us, you know, Tyler, we didn't even play high school quarterback, college quarterback, for sure not NFL quarterback. So getting that perspective is always appreciated.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle. And Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas. 80 yards.
First week of college football, it always has a lot of big matchups. Let's be honest. That's kind of the big feature, the big kickoff, and a lot of different neutral site games. That a lot of people are going to be watching. I know all of us, of course, are going to be watching Arkansas play Eastern Illinois, and that's going to be the biggest game for us on September 1st. But looking at the other SEC matchups, there's five big ones. I want to ask you guys which ones are you going to be most interested in. You got Ole Miss versus Texas Tech, Auburn versus Washington, Tennessee versus West Virginia, Alabama versus Louisville, and LSU versus Miami. Which one pops out to you?
I'm probably still Alabama-Louisville. It's got more star power. It's got more coaches I'm intrigued in. And how is Alabama as good as everyone's telling me they are? They may beat everybody double digits this year. You know, and Tyler, one thing Saban has been good at is coming out of the gates. And while the first halves might have been a little shaky, he's beaten some really good football teams in these early season showcases and made them look foolish, and then those teams have went on to have pretty good years. Yep. But how he has managed to prepare his teams to be so good in that game one is pretty amazing.
Yeah, and I mean the thing with the Louisville Alabama deal is Bobby hadn't beaten Saban. Is that right?
That's right.
So, I mean, he's over, and it's been the offense versus the defense, you know, mentality. You got a new quarterback at Louisville. I don't think that's going to fare well for Louisville. I think it'll be a runaway. I really do. I think Alabama will be more prepared. To Tommy's point, Alabama seems to have a knack for coming out early and being really prepared. It looks like they're in midseason form.
And sometimes these games are pretty competitive at halftime, and then it's a runaway train in the second half for whatever reason. And we've seen that before. But I'm just amazed at Alabama can look midseason form in these week
That's
one
right.
games.
It's
unbelievable.
And I think you're right when I say runaway. Not from the get go. I don't see it being a 30-point game at halftime. But I think at halftime it could be a 10 to 14-point ball game, and then all of a sudden, you know, mm-hmm. you get in the middle part of the third quarter, and then that's where you really see some, you know, see Alabama break loose or a turnover. Typically, they find a way to make it. Create a turnover, and it changes the landscape and the complexion of the game. But I think that's the question: is can and will Bobby have? He'll have a quarterback. You just don't know who it's going to be or how it's all going to shake out. But at some point, you just feel like Alabama's going to find a way to run away for that in the second half.
Alabama's favored by 25. You taking Alabama by 25?
Ooh,
that
just
spread.
That's a statement right there.
It is.
That Vegas has put a 25-point spread, and this is a neutral site game. It's in Orlando, if I remember correctly.
Yep, the Camping World Kickoff.
Yeah, so it's where the Cap One Bowl's at, or whatever they're calling it now, the old Citrus Bowl. Yeah, I mean, that's amazing right there, a 25-point line. I think I'd just stay away from that one. 25's a lot of points. But, yeah, if you gunned ahead, probably take Bama and lay the points. Why wouldn't you? Yeah. Defending national champs? Why wouldn't you?
I'd probably have to go the same way. See, and that's a great matchup, too. But, see, I'm more interested in Auburn versus Washington.
See, my next one would be the Tennessee game. What are they going to look like?
Auburn, I guess so, yeah.
Auburn, Washington. Tell me why you're intrigued. I know Washington had a really good year last year, and they're, mm-hmm. you know, they're kind of on the rise. But I don't know. I mean,
I'm interested in Auburn, but not Washington.
That's right.
Washington doesn't
do anything for me.
Well, I just like to see when you have these non-conference games, I get what y'all are saying because you want to see for Tennessee. You want to see what Tennessee looks like mm-hmm. with Jeremy Pruitt. I get all of that. I'm just looking at it from the matchup of, okay, Auburn's supposed to be really good this year. They have a lot of guys returning. Not picked to win the SEC, but between Alabama, Georgia, and Auburn, I think everyone's under the same coat that those are the top three teams in the league. And so I'm interested because not only is Auburn supposed to be good, but this is also coming off of Gus Malzahn signing the huge extension, the big contract, and making the big money, and they have a difficult schedule in front of them. And so it's like, okay, so what are they going to do this year? And they have a tough schedule, too. Well, but if they get behind the eight ball early against Washington, because they're favored by three right now, Auburn is.
Yeah, so what if you get $50 million and then you go lay an egg against Washington in game one?
I think that's what John's talking about.
Yes, exactly.
And how many football games does Auburn have on their schedule that are strong? I mean, you're still thinking about Alabama at the end of the year if you're Auburn. Your daily workout regimen is got Alabama up above, you know, the top of every squat rack. So when you think about that, and all of a sudden you go out and you play Washington game one, who's a really good under the radar football team that a lot of people here in the in the southeastern part of the country just go, oh, Washington. No, they're one of the top five teams in the country potentially. And you go out there and I'm with you. That could be a surprise. It's not the one that catches your eye, but it's the one that could slip up and all of a sudden throw a kink in the landscape of what we look at in the Southeastern Conference is who's playing for national championship.
Now, mm-hmm. if you look at teams in the SEC that can afford to lose a game week one and still be in the mix at the end of the year, Auburn's got that kind of game.
I'd agree. The way their schedule sets up, it's one of the most difficult in the country.
A loss to Louisville wouldn't derail your season. It probably wouldn't for Bama because they still got teams ahead of them they can beat. I think anyone in the SEC that's got one of these kind of games, but I think probably just because of the rankings with the teams, Washington just is going to have a little more prestige than the Louisville game.
No love for
Bama.
No love for LSU and Miami? Ed Orgeron versus Mark Richt?
I mean, who do you expect to win that game?
Miami.
I kind of expect Miami.
And
got the spread on that one?
No, I can pull it up. Okay. And see, that's the reason why I like that game, too, is just because everyone's kind of hot. Talking about Ed Orgeron's like, are you going to be the guy, man? You need to show us something. Well, if he goes out and gets smoked by Miami to start, and actually Miami's favored by 3 in this game.
People keep talking like Ed's going to get fired mid-year or something. I don't see that happening.
I mean,
maybe you have to be like 0-6 for that to happen.
They fired Les Miles in the middle of the year after having this
after
huge
how many
thing.
After how many seasons?
Well, I know, but they had that at the end of the previous season. They were saying we're not. They had the players carrying off the field, the fans chanting his name. They're like, we're not going to fire our guy. And then 2 games into the next season, see ya.
Yeah. Well,
so just seems like they're all discombobulated down there at LSU. I don't think it'll happen either. No. But would you be surprised?
Yes.
Really, you'd be surprised. I don't think I could be.
To make another change, unless you had like a Hall of Fame type name coach ready to take the job, yeah, that would really surprise me.
Yeah. Well, see, in the other game that I wanted to talk about, too, it's not in the first week, it's in the second week. Texas A&M Clemson, I think, is interesting, too, with Jimbo going against Dabo Sweeney. You know, they had the rivalries, if you want to call them that, with Florida State and Clemson.
Great measuring stick for where he's at.
Yeah, and I think that Clemson's, of course, you know they're going to be great, but where is A&M at, too? And I think that's a great little indicator for Arkansas to kind of see what they're going to be seeing from Texas A&M and how they're going to get it started, too. Because here's the thing. I don't think anyone's going to be mad or say that Jimbo is not going to get the job done in the second week of the season. But if you see Jimbo get absolutely stomped on by Clemson, I don't know. Does that mean anything at all? Does it say, oh, this may not work? Because I feel like Jimbo's got talent on that A&M team. Kevin Sumlin didn't do a lot of great things, but the dude recruited some great players.
Great coaches, elite coaches, don't lose games like 50-3. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. I agree there. So if they lose something,
they just
like
don't
that.
Let that happen. They may lose games, but it's not curb stompings.
Like when BMO lost 52-0 to Alabama.
Which game? To Alabama. Okay.
Yeah, to Alabama. That game. Or
can you be more specific?
Or the 56-3 game to Auburn 2 years ago. I mean, we can go on and on and bringing up those games and bringing up those examples. So, but no, great matchups, though. And how great it would have been to have that second week Arkansas and Michigan. Just saying. In the big house.
That's actually one break I think you caught this year.
It
Arkansas
is a break.
Rarely
it
catches
is a break.
Breaks on this kind of thing. It actually is a kind of a break.
Would we have gone? I would have liked to go.
Oh, I'd absolutely wanted to be there.
Yeah. Do a live show from Ann Arbor?
I mean, it's one of those bucket list type venues. Yeah.
And that's, man, just again, just makes me mad because I was looking so forward to going up there.
I think the trade-off, guys, is better because you get Notre Dame.
It is.
I forget which year.
2020, you play at Notre Dame, and then 2025, they return to Fayetteville. Maybe.
I mean, that's a bigger, higher up on the bucket list kind of venue.
Yeah, I agree, too. Hopefully, they don't cancel the contract at the last second. I never want to say never, but hopefully they don't do that. But there's some great matchups in college football, especially in the SEC, in the beginning of the season.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.